Conference record has joined the conference.
We weren't able to sort of get through to Jason and
so it seems to me that this is a budget one.
Yeah.
That's really what the preclusion is on the integration, right?
Why? Well, why do you say it's a budget? Sort of a clinical standard of care.
But it's going to cost money, is what he meant.
It's going to cost money and...
To the state,
state.
I guess.
Yes, to the state.
Yes. So, go ahead, Charles.
So, I'm going back to our...
The criteria.
This would be something that would probably have to be included in the governor's budget. And that would be the reason for it to...
To be on the list.
To be on the list.
It's got budgetary implications, but I don't think the governor wouldn't have to put it in his budget because... It's a lab test, so...
It's not just testing, it's treatment. It's doing treatment within these settings.
In other words, changes in clinical protocols aren't put in the governor's budget. The question is, how do we incentivize, how do we make this happen? It's not really, you know what I mean? It's got budgetary implications, but it's not like...
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Without a budget, any change in the budget...
Well,
yeah, I can deliver this service. It's a billable service. I can deliver the service, bill for it. Remember, the question is, how do we get people to actually do this, which is so critically important.
So most primary care settings don't have a hepatologist, and a lot of your drug treatment settings, they don't have an Article 28, so it would have to be done in coordination with that. There's very low reimbursement for the ongoing injections. There's money for the counseling and support, all of those things. And so if we're talking about a robust program, then I think we are talking about a model that has an additional level of funding attached to it to make it happen. I mean, the only reason we're providing Hep C treatment at Housing Works is because we got a federal grant that's paying for all the costs that aren't reimbursed.
If you look at, again, I will use my own personal experience, okay? At the time, I was on Medicaid. Had to dig around to find a doctor who would be willing to accept Medicaid. That was the first thing they had to do. Then... I'm seeing this doctor, he was actually a gastroenterologist, okay? All that money was being put out to him, where if I could have just gone through my primary doctor, because when I was doing the treatment, there were other things to factor in when it comes to your immune system and sick, and, you know, there was a lot of hospital usage because of dehydration. If I was able to work just with my primary care instead of having to work with my primary care, with the gastroenterologist, I think that right there would have saved a lot of money.
Would there be a way to include this in a broader category? I guess the issue is, you know, the lack of integration is a problem across our health system with many complex illnesses, and not only this one. I mean, it's an approach to care and treatment. So I'm just trying to think of a way to connect this into something that's larger so that we're not using up one of our recommendations on something that's as narrow as this, but it's really a quality of care issue.
And it would get more impact, too.
I don't know whether Neil or somebody else may know it. What is the standard of care? I mean, there are probably clinical guidelines that are the excellent.
This is why this came forward, and my name is attached, but I did a lot of work with the AIDS Institute on this, because the clinical guidelines have dramatically changed, and advancing treatment and making it more universal, et cetera, that hasn't fallen into
we should advocate the clinical guidelines then, right?
Well, but it hasn't fallen into practice because the reimbursements aren't available to match that standard.
Right. Well, Medicaid managed care plans, you know, there's significant pressure on Medicaid managed care plans to abide by clinical guidelines. And I mean, I saw that in my former life in managed care. So I would imagine that the state, through the Medicaid managed care program, has some responsibility to abide by standards of care for Medicaid managed care.
And build on what you're saying. So isn't there an opportunity through ATG primary care to push testing, training, treatment?
It would be precluded from residential, and residential is actually a key target because when you've got somebody in residential, you've got this captive audience. They're going to be there for a nice long stay. The treatments need a lot of support.
Right, but I'm not excluding residents right now. I'm just saying that there's an opportunity with ambulatory to push it through the APG. That system is already just hasn't been.
Okay, I get what you say.
And then you still have the problem of residents.
Yes, and even within the context of the APGs, you've got got to have the specialist available, and they're not just going to be there in a primary care setting or available to a drug treatment program just because they can bill themselves to this. They don't like to do it themselves. And then you've got the low reimbursement if the injections, and then you've got no funding for any kind of support. So, I mean, the data is at this point that 6 months of treatment, and there's like overwhelming odds that you will be cured. But it's 6 months of hell that you have to go through to get there. And there's not a reimbursement stream that really supports getting people through that 6 months of hell so they can be cured. So instead, we're paying for liver transplants.
And also remember that hepatitis C is a rise among our young people. Have to remember that. That's going to factor in down the road.
So the question is, do you want number 11 on the list?
Can we put it up there for now? We're building.
Yes.
Somebody on the phone.
Was anybody able to join us on the phone from the MRT committee?
I'm on the committee. I'm at
home.
Yes, Dennis Mitchell is back on.
Okay, you're back on. Great.
Tom Sneed is on, too.
Sorry, who was that?
Chow.
Oh, Chow.
Chow.
Hi, Chow. Yeah.
Hi.
Okay, so we've covered the quality list now. We've covered the cost list, which is the one that so on that list, on page 7, we did all the overall.
Okay.
We did all the transparency.
Right.
We've done all the quality. So on the cost list, child data, we've got 47 IT, ensure primary prevention and basic specialty care for uninsured low-income immigrant adults.
Housing work, as well as ensure primary prevention basic specialty care for uninsured
low-income immigrant adults. Create a family health class 2 program, provide primary care prevention and basic specialty care for uninsured low-income adults. Benefiting funds currently in the program.
Well, I put it out there. It's obviously a big one. It would obviously require a waiver or some other thing. One other thing I will say is a 2 years out there thing, because this ties into what are they called now? But yeah, it's, but the
disproportionate share?
No. I'm sorry. What is the and the?
The Affordable Care Act. Sounds like.
I got up at 4 o'clock this morning so I could work out before I came here. Okay, I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed. The health exchange. Yes. Thank you. So the idea here is that if you have the exchange, that lifts up a bunch of people. If you buy into basic, the basic health care, that basically covers everyone who is legally in the country, documented in the country, and everyone else 139% to 200% above poverty. And so the idea would be to create a state insurance program for primary and specialty care for everyone else who is, for whatever reason, uninsured. I probably should not have named it so explicitly, but the idea is that it is whoever is in that huge pool, much diminished, but pool of people who is left uncovered.
And uncoverable.
And probably 90% of them would be of a particular unnamed class of people.
Charles, I have a question. Does this contrast at all with the charity care proposal, and if so, how?
So that's kind of complicated, because the charity care proposal is something that could happen now, right? It will then go through further reformulation, impact, et cetera, as the Affordable Care Act rolls out, right? So this can be seen in concert with that.
I think it seems to me, not authoring either of these, that they're very similar.
Okay.
That in a sense what you're trying to do is get the dollars to deal with the people as opposed to the connecting to the institution. And so, you know, you can do that through an eligibility process, which is what Charles has suggested, that somehow they'd be eligible for some sort of benefit thing. Or you can do it on the back end by just saying, we're going to pay the providers for delivering care to that population. I think there are two different mechanisms that sort of try to address the same question, the way I see it.
No, that's an absolutely fair description of it.
So, in terms of which way to go, the charity care proposal sort of grabs onto a bigger sort of population of people. And so it sort of covers all of the folks who would potentially be uninsured or uninsured that would be seeking care in the system. And I guess your piece is trying to define who those people are.
So
I kind of like the charity care proposal a little bit better, because it's a little broader. I have no idea how the dollars would compare on the benefit side versus the sort of institutional reimbursement.
So let me just, when you say it's a little broader, it's broader now, because the uninsured population is much bigger now. And so I think that's why I was saying that the charity pool, the that proposal is something that could be implemented now, would have immediate impact on the formulas, et cetera, et cetera. This is really after a large percentage of those uninsured people have become insured, either because of the exchange or basic.
Okay. So the one that's already on the board, the issue of timing is because it's an imperative that something
changes,
or otherwise the state is going to potentially lose a significant amount, up to 51% of its current allotment of disproportionate share funds after 2014. Am I correct?
Yes.
So that's the distinction. That's one distinction in terms of the sort of the acuity of action or need for action.
Mm-hmm.
The other distinction is it is, as Neil said, it takes the route of dollars following the patients, but the dollars go to the institution provider, hospital or community-based CNTC or provider. And it speaks very specifically to the indigent care fund or the existing indigent care pool. That's the one on the board already. My understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, of what you're proposing, Charles, is that as a result of the implementation of the health exchange and the pickup of cohorts of individuals who today cannot afford, do not get subsidized insurance, that there will be cohorts of individuals who will become insured and therefore move from the state is funding them now column to federal government is now paying, if not all, at least a significant portion, thereby freeing up state dollars.
Exactly. Right?
And your proposal said $500 million, if I'm correct.
I didn't put a dollar.
So it wasn't your proposal. It was a paper that I read. There was a significant amount of dollars that would be saved by the state of New York if folks moved from one column to another column, pursuant to their being able to purchase someone else purchasing or subsidizing an insurance product, the basic health plan.
Exactly.
But after that, there's a big savings, but there would still be a population, and since we're in a closed room here and there's no Fed,
right.
There would be undocumented individuals, people who are undocumented immigrants, who would not be picked up, would not have the opportunity to be insured.
Right.
And it is for those individuals that it's being proposed that a insurance product that is principally for primary and preventive care?
Yes.
Ambulatory care?
Yes.
Prevention. That there be an insurance product or some kind of insurance product that would be available to those individuals and supported by those savings.
Yes.
All right. As long as it's supported by those savings, I could wholeheartedly agree. But when you get to the possibility of being supported by disproportionate hospital share funds, I have a problem with that. But that's just me. But the state dollars, because disproportionate share hospital funds are principally federal dollars. It grows with a state match, or in the case of New York City, a local match. But if you're talking about the state dollars that would be freed up by folks being insured, well.
But what would be wrong with if the secretary permitted the federal share of the DISH dollars or a portion thereof, as well as whatever the match, being used for these services?
Can I just say another reason why I would be opposed to putting this on right now? I think we need an immediate solution. And if these two proposals come out simultaneously, somebody's going to point to the redistribution of the bad charity care dollars, because I think, and say, hey, we'll just
do this other proposal. Let's wait for the exchanges to get set up. Let's wait for people to get insured.
That's my
concern. Let's figure out what's going to happen, and then 3 years from now, we can deal with this issue. But we've been trying to deal with this other issue for a decade already without any movement.
And there is an imperative.
And it can be done right now. And otherwise, we're going to be at risk. So I think that in the next MRP round, we should bring up it depends on too many unknowns that we too many things that we don't know about right now. That's just my that's my opinion. Keep it simple and make it clear what we want done around this and what's doable right now.
Which in and of itself is a heavy lift.
Right. Yeah, I mean I can weigh in too, but it doesn't sound like I need to argue.
I'm in the minority. I can be in the minority.
And we can still love you for it.
Hmm?
We can still love you for it.
Well, and I've got Neil committing to another round of MRT, and he's going to love you to be on this work group.
Neil made me be in my shoes.
Can I just talk a process as we're a process question? We have an hour and a half left, and I looked at the cost, and we sort of said from the beginning, well, cost was less of a piece that quality and health disparities. Could we, rather than, because I'm looking and I see six more recommendations that have not been part of the 10 we've already, 11 we've already implemented, would it make more sense to the group to focus on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th overall as opposed to the 7th? I'm just trying to that.
Well, I think we do have, I think that's the fact that we have, overall, we know we have the top 10, and we know what, 11 through 16 can produce.
So rather than have the discussion about cost specifically and the 6 or 7 pieces around cost, I think it's less significant than what we overall think of about recommendation 11 through 15.
How many of the other cost ones have we already dealt with?
There are six we haven't discussed.
Fluoridation, rinse and harm reduction, pay performance, low Medicaid policy that reduce barrier,
engagement
strategies for psychiatric disabilities,
home blood pressure,
home blood pressure cuff, and assistance.
Again, it's
what we want. I would support Glenn's proposal too, but I'm not sure that when I was scoring, I even found costs to be that meaningful, so I'm not sure that his listing is that meaningful to me to go through in detail. but if we look at some of the other proposals in the overall, that would be.
Yeah, and some proposals had more specifics on costs than others, and not as a function of data is not available, just person's ability to put down something. So. It's not that fair, if we really look at it. It's very subjective.
I think we had research available to put into your proposal. That's why they had numbers. Some folks didn't have the capacity to come up with a specific number.
I see.
There was a lot of projection.
Yeah, a lot of projection.
I have a question. Who put number 40, then, using non-traditional engagement?
I did.
What?
I think that's the one we should keep.
I have one on there too, okay.
I'm wondering how that can be tied into the health and the community services.
So, the health.
That was actually my comment on that.
Yeah, no, that's actually a very good point. I mean, because health homes are not going to be prescriptive per se.
Right.
There's got to be a piece of your expectation around the care coordination piece around looking at, trauma informed care, looking at advanced directives. That's something that you could
Peer
sort of
support.
Push for and advocate for, but not specific to health homes
right
now.
Right.
That's something that could be put in a letter to health homes? Is that
40?
Number 40. Using non traditional. Engagement strategy for individuals with psychiatric disabilities? Is that something?
Put it in a letter.
Huh?
Put it in a letter.
Put in a letter? For health homes?
Put it in a letter.
What do you guys think?
I think it should be formal. I would support formal.
Formal as in a proposal?
No, a letter.
As a letter?
Yeah,
yes.
Except for the letter.
Oh, yeah.
So do we have an agreement on that it should be in a letter?
Yeah, I think we have agreement that it should be in a letter.
And okay, we have
40 PLN.
That's under the cost. And I know that there was a proposal for changing our process, but there is another one that we were almost to that does require a waiver in order to go forward, yes. The harm reduction proposal.
The next one on the list was the medical, was the fluoridation, which there is a clear cost, return on investment cost.
Massive savings on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, massive.
But that's why it's scored as well here, because we had a cost.
Yes.
We've done a cost study of that. It basically, we set up a resolving program for communities to lower their water supply. And there's clear Medicaid savings for kids' dental service.
Yeah, and we didn't have any other dental.
Right.
But we don't know how many 11 through 15 is that.
Or,
there
was only
and not only children.
In,
so you
want
to keep it on for now?
Yeah, for now.
Okay, the next one after that was expanded access to syringe and harm reduction therapy. So,
we got to do 16 anyway.
22 TDI is the next one.
Yeah, so the waiver component of this would allow the AIDS Institute to license its providers of needle exchange and harm reduction services. So there's three parts. One is really clarification of regulations, which can go in a letter. The second would be OASIS changing its regulations. And then the third part, which is what requires a waiver, would be assuming OASIS changed its regulations, then the AIDS Institute would be able to also license its providers to provide those services using harm reduction as a treatment modality.
I should be honest, but I just didn't know enough about kind of what are the obstacles that are preventing forward already.
So that very specifically, it's got to go into a waiver process. It's got to get approval of the feds because it's creating a new funding stream to do it. The other part would be that obviously OASIS, the second component, OASIS changing its regs, is just OASIS having to act on that.
You met with staff at OASIS.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, OASIS issued, has not yet issued, but has draft clinical guidelines that come very close to what we're proposing. So,
want to keep that one on?
Yeah.
Okay, keep that one on.
Okay, fine, I support, but I thought we were going to move to the next slide as opposed to looking at the rest of the course.
Well, I think we want to go through sort of every, well,
I mean, it's up to the group. I did make that proposal. So if I go back to if OASIS is over here and you had opportunity to talk more, would that be more
of
a letter to OASIS?
The third element still requires a federal waiver. And that's why it would need to go through.
Help me with that one. What would the waiver grant?
It would allow the Department of Health to issue a similar license to do the same type of activity. Harm reduction therapy, needle exchange and harm reduction therapy funded through Medicaid.
Because it's a federal.
The new Medicaid service.
Okay, so.
It's a
new benefit.
The
needle exchange is the benefit. A harm reduction is a cost.
Right, but right now a harm reduction program could not get reimbursed for doing drug treatment.
Okay, so thank you. That helped me. So
yeah.
You're really talking about harm reduction programs being Medicaid reimbursable.
Exactly.
Got it.
And that's the part that requires the waiver.
And because it requires a waiver, our threshold for what MRT needs to be able to move.
Exactly.
MRT is going to be the one
to move that.
Yes.
The next one we may be able to, there's no proposal associated with 11SR, which is implement community-based pay for performance to create incentives. There's actually not a proposal. This is a holdover from the first round of MRT.
I think we can skip it.
We can skip that.
Nobody here quite for it.
Thank you. 41, we should promote Medicaid policies to reduce barriers and increase access to nutrition. That one also has no,
right.
No proposal. It has this right. Is a held up holdover.
What is kind of thing?
Well, aren't you impressed by how we scored all these things? We have no idea what
they're doing. I put NEI.
Not enough information.
Because I was referring to NEI. I got an email from noting that the single disability initiative is on here. And so I guess the question I guess ask on her behalf to the group is, why didn't any of us score disability proposal high? She's not at the table.
So we've actually incorporated two.
Oh, wait,
which
is eight?
In the training, and it's in the data.
But none of the ones that were specifically.
And ADA
compliance.
And the CON one?
And the
CON one.
Okay. I was just trying to make sure that.
No, I think for most of the.
BlackBerry.
Oh,
it's back on.
So in my opinion, sorry,
the whole Northeast was shut off.
And that's why, in some cases, at least one case, we said that we would transmit that to the FIPIC.
Yeah.
And then the other case,
right.
And there were two others that we said we should roll into. One was had to do with the data, and then the other had to do with
the training.
The training. Number eight up on the cabinet.
Right. So
three,
so I think if we get through, we got three more that were scored, and then we're going to start going down the list. So we may hit some of them that way on the score. The next one, 40 PLM, is the non-traditional engagement strategy.
Didn't we just discuss that? We did that. You're worse than me.
Blood pressure monitors. Maybe we can. So I had a little discussion with Jason Helgerson briefly on the phone. His answer for how do you include these community health sorts of initiatives is that you make them part of the benefits package that the care plan have to cover.
Right.
And that's what we want.
We can pull this
the pre-diabetes
into
right.
The general
right.
Chronic disease.
Health workers, yeah. Hey.
Is that okay?
That's good.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But, never mind. I'll bite my tongue.
Aren't you glad there's nobody from managed care in this
room? Yeah.
The last one is, 49 IT provide assistance for accessing services.
That's okay. No, that's
no,
that's different.
49 IT.
There was no proposal.
Well,
it
was
just
no,
yeah. Yeah.
But it's different than the insurance one we're talking
about. Yeah, I think it's
the same. It was
the
Yeah,
right. So we've covered everything.
So since we brought up this managed care and what gets covered, I wonder if it would weigh that down too much to fold into it the quality measures proposal that I had put forth. It was specifically around annual HIV testing and then the other women's preventive health so it was just requiring that be one of the quality indicators that mainstream plans are required to to score.
Yes.
To report. No. I'll find it for you in just a second. My big
problem. So there sounds like there's a community preventive services package, and then maybe there's a clinical preventive
services
package.
Yeah.
Right.
And actually,
yes, it's 27 pH.
I get to it
in
another
5 or 6 months.
On
the
clock.
Are we talking about that now?
Yeah. I was only trying to jump it up because it sounded like it fit into this bucket.
That are not
measured.
Does
that
make sense?
Work?
And it makes sense in the context of what Gus was saying, like two buckets related to the managed care.
Well, what we talked about before was sort of community services, like communities or health care workers, making those
community preventive
services. Community preventive services.
Clinical.
If folk want to do it as a letter, I'm happy to do that. If it doesn't fit neatly into this, that's fine. I only brought it up because I thought it fit in.
It's not a benefit, right? It's not a...
This is a quality...
Yeah,
quality
more quality measure. QAR.
I'd be happy to see it as a letter.
Okay. So 27 pH will flag for a letter.
I don't want to drop the question. I don't know if I can, go back to a letter. But it also is one of the health home chronic illness indicators. So is there, I want to be able to reinforce a little bit more. So there are pieces of this that also goes back to the health home. I don't recall.
So this is testing, though. This is making sure that people get an annual test. So I'm not. I'm
you're
missing.
Right. So the health one is just if you already have the diagnosis.
Yes. So I mean, what this is really getting at is that most people of color don't find out they're HIV positive.
No, but it is already a standard of care. I was trying to.
We're going to run out of time if we go into this level of detail on everything.
So we're done with all the top 10 proposals, 23 of them. Continuing down the list, the next one was in terms of the overall and very new score was 30 PLM, which is Comprehensive Health Team, which is not actually proposed before. So I think we've already talked about that. So we'll pick that up. The next one is psychiatric disability.
Next one. Upgrading.
Next, I've sorted the list here by disparity score.
Oh, you're on this
beyond
one.
What we've already.
Okay, so I think you're going to have to call us count out numbers so we can look them up.
The number.
I'm using my mic. Oh, here's my
mic. So the first, the one I just mentioned, was 30 CLM.
The first, yes. But I read the mic.
Develop comprehensive community health teams, combine case management, medical care, and mental health services. That
kind of right here.
Oh. Don't worry about it.
One, smoothing my mind up there.
So that's somehow that. The next one is the one we already talked about, psychiatric symptoms and youth and transition.
So what did we do with that? That's up there.
Number nine.
So Terry whispered in my ear that there was something about this in the behavioral health. Is this redundant to that?
True. There's the behavioral health MRT as something as a child subject. There's a health as a child subject.
What is the ages of that dog?
But
because we're talking from 17 to 24.
Yeah.
Well, what I did was when I put the recommendations together that I presented last Monday, I looked at why, you know, I was very involved and a lot of colleagues were very involved in behavioral health. I looked for ones that did not replicate.
Okay.
This is Bob being addressed by that.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
Definite gap there.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry, so I'm going to see if I can project. So the next one is one of the data ones, implement data collection standards. So that's going to go into the data. Okay.
So can you say the number?
Five MTM.
Yeah, five.
This is the disabilities one that we did capture.
The second page.
This would be folded into the general data collection recommendations.
So, yes.
By Medicaid.
1 through 6 MTM.
Right. This is Medicaid. Yeah.
Alluding to it, but we haven't really said anything about it.
So is this part of the
44 CWB? Is there a way to? We had said 44 CWB to
then kind of
work process to ensure we get compliance. We want to share that with the letter to the fifth planning. And shouldn't we include this one to Joe Ivey's public health group?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's, I mean, just following the same.
Yep.
And the two can form a joint committee.
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? Is that like a watchdog kind of? Because I was just talking to a couple people on during lunch break about developing some type of independent.
They pointed.
Dr. Buford, are you on still?
I am on, yeah. I'm having a little trouble because some of the people, I can't really hear what you're saying.
Yeah, so there's a
name, and I heard public health, but I couldn't hear the rest.
We're considering proposal number 46, which is rigorous review of Americans with Disabilities Act compliance with public health initiatives, and I think the proposal includes health care, not just public health programs at the department, but any health care. So there would be a review. We can read it. Recommends the state strongly advocate strongly for continued disability and health program funding through CDC's Center for Disability. That we do, and that could be transmitted in a letter. Is there more to it than national survey?
I was thinking it had. I mean, I was assuming because it was. It wasn't. I didn't see it specifically. I was thinking of also in terms of the CON process, but also I'm assuming for accreditation of facilities and everything, most of the basics are there, but maybe the thinking was slightly different. You're talking about service programs, not just physical facilities and support services that are they're legally required. That's what I was having trouble with, totally understanding the thrust of it.
Yeah, I mean,
I appreciate there's legal requirements and there's enforcement, but beyond the sort of legal requirements, I wasn't 100% clear.
But there are places that are not even following the legal requirements.
Well, I think 44 definitely falls within the UN group. I think this, what Susan was saying, was that she was asking New York State to advocate strongly for continued disability and health program funding through the CDC, through the Center for Disease Control. That may be just the department writing a letter to CDC, and this group making recommendation to the department that they advocate for continued funding of these dollars.
Okay, so it's our charging the commissioner to take an action, which doesn't require regulatory. Right.
Yeah, that's the requirement besides, you know, enforcing the law and taking full advantage of opportunities to push the program.
So, Diana, would that be okay?
That would be cool with me. I think there's going to be other things starting too.
Okay, it looks like that is projecting.
Oh.
Oh.
Sorry, so this is the sorted list, which I still can't.
The sorted list?
That's
the
word D-I-G-R-D-I-G.
The next one is 44, which I think we've already discussed.
Yep.
The next is... Disability competency training 42.
We got it.
We put that in
so
an 8.
What number is that?
It's 42 PWB.
Put it up in 8.
It's included there. The next one is the access to mental health medication. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
39 TLM. One, I think this is.
So what is
right?
I was specifically looking for in terms of and this was one of those, what I read in some posts, that was a major issue. The recommendation I put forward is more low-hanging fruit teams, but I was saying that because of the carve-out of mental health medication, there's a lot of confusion in the community about the loss of the carve-out. So we've always been able in our community to have atypical antipsychotic and antidepressants part of the foster. Now we've lost that protection. So there's a lot of confusion in the community, going back to Diana's point, that we're going out there and talking to the community, but we're reaching maybe 1-2% of the entire Medicaid community who are impacted by this.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were saying is that
the Department of Health had sent out an initial letter for the Department of Health to
send out another letter, again, low-hanging fruit seems more so, that they sent out another letter specifically to Medicaid enrollees
detailing
the course of action that people can take if they
are denied their Medicaid. One of the 13-14 health plans,
okay,
in which they would be denied. The other piece we're asking for is
broader language around grandfathering. There's been verbal commitments around grandfathering in individuals with psychiatric disturbance to continue on the medication they're on, but we want to see some specific language around grandfathering as opposed to verbal commitments.
And that piece is also in there? That was
This, to me, this ties into the disparity impact thing we started with. One of the first things we said in our first meeting was about, you know, the fact that we thought that there should be a disparity impact analysis of all of the sort of changes that are being made. And the mental health, the changes in medication overall, you know, that carve-in has been the most difficult, most anti-disparities activity that I've encountered in the last multiple years. I mean, patients are getting letters that 3 or 4 of their medications at a time have to be changed for absolutely no reason except that somebody's got a cheaper medication that they prefer in one health plan and a different cheaper medication in a different health plan, depending upon what they've negotiated. And I don't understand quite how we're going to go forward with this, like what the go-forward piece is. So the letter is great, Glenn, but I think that the go-forward piece is really – like, how do we actualize that disparities impact analysis that we talked about in the first meeting to say that people somehow, we have to think about these things before we just make changes like this and figure out, you know, how to
do it. I mean, like, you know, the ultimate is to push back on the carve-out, which is sort of, that's a whole other issue that I don't know if we as a group want to take that on as a key advocacy issue. But I was looking at sort of what we can do for the short term.
Okay.
So, you know,
so
I specifically focus on the grandfathering lenses because at least those individuals who are on an atypical or an antidepressant,
I think it goes on the list, or we...
Letter.
I'm not in favor of just putting a letter on this.
Well, look,
if this is mandating formulary issues for managed care plans, that's beyond the letter.
No, no, no. I wasn't saying it was a letter to the commissioner. He was saying
calls
for a letter to the
CMS.
That means that's an MRT piece, is what you're saying, because it's broader than something, right?
So, but this is specifically the grandfathering. I've lost the
disparity impact of this transfer.
But what's the ask?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm lost here.
What we'd like is probably unrealistic.
Right, but the ask is an unreal. I mean, do we
is the ask?
But I think, as frankly, as advocates, and something as you articulated so well, this is one of the what could be, you know, one of the most devastating impacts to a mental health community, to individuals with psychiatric disabilities, that it's almost incumbent upon us to take a strong stand, but. That said, I'm also trying to be somewhat pragmatic by saying, well, if we can't get to that big overarching piece, at least we can do, you know, a letter, obviously, to all Medicaid recipients detailing their course of action, and also to include some strong grandfathering money so that those individuals who are in the health plans can continue to give the medication that they're already on.
So, I'm still confused about how we actualize what Neil was talking about.
Mandate, I mean, from my perspective, you don't want to undo the carve in. Basically,
the proposal says mandate that all
mandate
psychiatric mandate be on a required formulary.
I go further. I would say mandate that the Medicaid formulary be implemented by the health plan. There's no reason not to do that. In other words, the money savings that come from carving stuff in comes from utilization reviews of, like, who's using what kinds of medication regimens. It doesn't come from the 3 cents you save by moving somebody from one antipsychotic to another, or the $3 that in some cases are even costing more. It's saved for utilization. And so there's no reason that you couldn't carve it in, but still say that the health plan has to cover all of the things that have been struggled over the last years to be included in the Medicaid formulary. And that, to me, would solve the problem, basically. And then they still could impose some utilization reviews that would reduce pharmaceutical costs, but it wouldn't be around the selection of medications, which is confusing the hell out of everyone, making our patients nuts. It would be around being able to have a pharmacist review the 12 medications my patient's taking and say, you know, we think that they could do better on a less costly concoction of medication, and we could then look at that, those kinds of recommendations. But what actually happened has been horrible. And the big disparities issue, because it affects people who understand their medication the least already. Those are the people who are most affected by this change. That's why major disparities issue.
Remember right at the beginning I said that letter, you need a college degree to read that letter.
Okay, so how can we move this?
Let's keep
going. And we've got 55 minutes, so we can do it.
I'm with Chrissy. Do we want to keep going through all these, or do we actually want to use the hour to narrow it down?
Yeah,
it's going to take an hour for us to do that.
you're going through every single.
Well, if you look at the tweets on the
covered a lot of them.
Disparity. we did all the proposals, we got to the mean of 2.1, now we're in the proposals that are 2.0, so they're one person change with their scoring.
How many more do we have? I can't tell.
Well, we're on row 21 of a 79 person, so we're going to stop at some point here. So we can try to narrow the.
You started it.
Keep going. The sheet is sorted by the disparity.
Yeah.
The next one down, nurse family partnership.
That nurse family partnership is with the benefits.
Basic
benefits. So we don't need to do that.
Okay. Okay.
So 21. That should be the benefits too.
Trying to get out early.
Okay. Yeah, 5 hour drive.
If you want, I mean, we could keep going and just have people to score these, in the next couple of days.
I think we should
have at least that the folks that weren't able to make it today would give them some input. It's really up to the chair.
The whole head workers have already had a chance to score.
A lot of this.
I'm sorry, you said we don't have to do that now. You mean we don't have to do that today? I don't think every proposal that came into us was a good proposal.
Oh.
So I wouldn't want staff to just. Yeah, but I do think that there should be space. I know that Ngozi and I talked over lunch about some of the other maternal ones that could go into better, and I want to make sure she doesn't lose the opportunity to put that forward.
There were four proposals that we combined into that one. Can I suggest one thing that might help us with some of this? And that is there's a number of proposals that are really about the benefit package. And I think we should transmit a separate grouping of things that they basically say that we believe that these benefits, and that way it gets them off our list, but clearly makes a very strong statement. We believe that these benefits are critical to support in relationship to reduction in disparity. And we can list exactly what they are. We should list the proposals in that letter, but not include them in our grouping, because that gives us 10 plus. And clearly they're going to have to be considered on the benefit side. But I think they're critically important, and we should call them out as a list of things that we think need to be in the benefit package. And that's a good way of getting around what I was questioning before, which is how do you promote particular ideas when you no longer have a fee-for-service model to do it in? You make sure that it's a benefit. So you can even say it's a Medicaid benefit to have access to group counseling for diabetes.
Right.
Then the health system figure out how they
you know, how they mandate, how they manage to provide that benefit. But I think the benefit thing gets us around some of the problems we were having before, figuring out what you do with things that you wouldn't include in a fee-for-service mandate for providers.
I mean, I think some of the states already don't have their tenor in your opinion. We don't know what their tenants are.
Duke it out.
It would be good to know what they have on their list. I would like to hear
what the benefits committee is at. They're at the end of their work. They have three meetings already.
Tell us. Maybe they.
Is there anything that
obesity treatments that they can use for gastrostomic knee surgery?
What about they don't like it? They're putting it on or they're taking it off?
It does not contain a lot of data about it. Certified lactation counselor, dietetic for herself, elective delivery, less emergency, C-section without medication, there's nurse family partnership that we talked about, CI, coronary angioplasty, growth hormone therapy for idiopathic short stature. Allowing local health partners to unbundle expert services. Coverage of coronary disease, angiography. Test strips for type 2 diabetics. EULA. Expansion of mental health counseling. Market stimulator for depression, turbulene and preterm labor. These are all the things they're considering, and we don't know what
they're talking about.
Half of them like they want to not cover, and half of them
are not sure.
But some of what you mentioned is on our list as well,
mm-hmm.
like the unbundling of the Department of Public Health piece, the doulas that are on there. So there are some issues. But we want them to be reimbursed. We want to make sure that they have the benefit column.
It's really specific.
It is very specific.
So,
but
care of that.
Yeah.
These are all things that they're trying to make their final determination. They also have the automated blood pressure monitors.
They do have them? Oh, good. The blood pressure. But can we, I still think it's important for us to share with them these are the things that as the disparities group we think will mitigate health disparities and that they should consider in the same spirit that when we sent our communication to the health homes we said you should look at how you're rolling out health homes in the context of affecting disparities. We should say to them that they should be looking at health benefits, Medicaid benefits as to how they can mitigate those benefits could mitigate or improve disparities.
And we can be specific in there, too.
And then list them.
Yes.
But
and the staff in that committee are actually looking at the disparities.
Yes.
Three questions that
yes.
Mm-hmm.
If I might came in late, I would have made into the discussion part to be able to add comments. But in terms of the all of that were combined with the data,
and 53, the Nurse Family Partnership went through. And then there was.
Where did doula care
about? Did we just go doula?
If you look at the top of 51,
We didn't talk about
Medicaid. Medicaid in service will be for a year 6 days. That's one of them. For Medicaid in service will be 6 days. That includes the Leonardo MC is the last time. Because they also carry in the
first minute. Yes. 6-0.
On my sheet, I see right across the board on that one, because it was, I remember it was a very good proposal with good numbers in there, good everything, and I could see where in the long run it would save money.
Right. I'm so glad, but it was two different, if there was enough, and then there was the treatment of, it had, the narrative included the smart card concept, right, but it also included the screening for perinatal risk.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking down the road.
Because we wanted to track information, coordinated health information across the spectrum of
services.
Stop this fragmentation, that far. So we kind of put it together like that. So
60 was the health IT for uniform screening, and it on the overall disparity, it got a mean of 1.1 and on the quality of 1.8. So that's why we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. And C61 was the uterine fibroid proposal, that scored even lower. That was the overall 1.3 and disparity 1.4.
I mean, some of those things, seven packets, I was not, I just wanted that, was not able to score, but that was the way. So my scoring doesn't reflect that.
So one proposal would be to try to fit these into the general. Number seven,
yeah.
Which is more than contraceptive coverage.
All right.
Right.
Yeah,
it should be women's health.
61 should be in number seven. Just to prevent
treatment.
Yes, I think. So it's the uterine fibroid preventive
treatment. Or treatment.
Right.
Or in
right. No, 60 doesn't. 60 is in itself.
Are we based on conversations we've been having? sort of completing with this, and now we're going to focus on the 14.
That's what we were doing, and then Gozi had some.
Okay.
Can we make input
that
we make,
had not provided?
Can we make number 60 the 15? Because we said 15 anyhow. Because I think that's 16? Important.
Oh, 15.
As a number 15.
Which was
the coordinating service delivery.
Well, 60
really is about the integration of using health IT to integrate community CDO services and clinical.
Yeah, I don't think that we really, I don't think that's really something to put in here, the IT thing. It's
right.
Happening. The entire, all of the networks, the technology networks that we've used that merged already in New York in the last 2 weeks. And so that kind of integration that you're talking about with community providers and all of those providers, anybody that's on electronic technology will be integrating all of their information very, very soon.
Form of a letter because it doesn't require those three things, but it is really important. And given what Neil's saying about the trajectory of EHRs, I think he talked about as a matter of principle that we want to make sure that the community-based organizations and what they offer, their contributions are seen as critical. And so I think that would be in that spirit that we would articulate how important this is in the as the state continues to roll out HIT. But it's a letter. It's not. It doesn't have to be an MRT.
If Nicole would agree. I mean, I think that the mission technology is going to get there. I think that our recommendation and strengthening the language and making it this faster, and certainly community-based organizations right now are the end of the spectrum. So we cannot go in.
Okay.
Hold on, and it's better served in the letter. As long
as it
gets attention. Right. So letter from this
from this group.
Right. For 60.
Yes.
Okay, good. So now we are going to look at the 15, 14.
Now we have 14.
Write it up.
Yes.
14. Hour to discuss, but at the end of the day, if we have those 14 left, we want to put out one more final vote to the group in terms of the same weighting scale.
And so that's the weight we
can narrow down to 10 if we're
unsuccessful in the next half hour in getting it down.
Is the 10 a magic number?
I think that's
the 10
the ask, right?
Yes.
No. Well, five more than the five we originally were
the original charge was
3.5. Oh, you guys.
Because we're the disparities work group. We think we have the right to put in 14.
That's why when they said 10, I was like, ooh.
You know the other benefit people are doing? I think that's a very good point.
The other thing is if something
fell off,
put in 10 and we could have some alternates that if something fell off the list.
So, like, what happens if you put in 12? Like, the
don't want to do that. Like, they throw off the whole list?
Potentially, I think it's a good question. I think it's potentially priority.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah. So just a weigh in. I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I would kind of be opposed to doing the numerical voting because that doesn't give us a chance to have substantive discussion about. You know, people are pushing their own proposals, but there might be more systematic. I mean, I think that this conversation is very different than what happened when we were voting. So anyway, we have 30 minutes left, so.
And I think it's important that we get these in rank order and that you recommend them to the MRT.
We're not there yet.
I mean, to the extent that you can't, because otherwise, some of them are
So maybe we have to revert to a voting process if we don't get there by 3:30. Okay. So,
and it's Mr. Mid-10. I'm one question. We submitted there for 5. We submit 10. Does that give the rule that if any of the 5 that require a remodeling, the tenant will move off another 3? Is that how it works? You can ask for some inside examples, but we put it in 10. So,
no, I don't. We put forward 10. I think the preparation for the MRT committee will take those 10 and we'll try to work them up. If we hit some barrier that we didn't thought of or there's some problem, we might want to have a couple that we could substitute in their place if things drop out. But I think, you know, we've got an agreement that we can put in 10. It would go into the process with the full MRT.
There's a significant amount of work that has to be done in preparation of each proposal.
So if everybody ranks from 1 to 10 and then we would have, like, read off or something, there is a way to come up with the top 10 in here. Is that what you're talking about?
That's the plan with the
Yeah.
I mean, if we couldn't accomplish anything within the next half hour.
Or is there anything that can be grouped?
No, I meant today. Yeah. Right. I mean, people would vote on these right now.
Right,
that's just putting
Yeah.
And you have 10.
Hash marks.
10 hash marks.
I'm missing out on
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, we could ask what their votes are.
I guess it seems to me, rather than taking the time to vote and tally, which would in itself eat up precious minutes, if we had a strategic conversation and also heard people's thoughts, I mean, there might be still some more bundling. There might be some strategy around how we prioritize. And then if we have to vote away from here, then let's vote, but let's use this time to have the meaningful conversation.
I guess as long as that if we make that decision that we're going to vote outside of this meeting, then we're comfortable with whatever that meant to be. And that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I was going to say there are also sort of a list of items that rank high on 3 out of 4.
Right.
I'm wondering if we can kind of make this more efficient by just sort of...
We know they were high.
Those are the first 7.
The first seven
were ranked on at least 2
high, 2 out of 4.
Right.
I guess we're more discussing.
I would like to have more discussion on the ones that are
important. Right. If we had to choose 2 of 8 to 14,
right. Yeah. So... Could I ask you all, are there any of these that you see being capable of being further combined, or have we done all we can do with that?
Could I just throw out, maybe someone could elucidate a little bit about the water fluoridation piece, because to me it's like a tangential connection. I understand the reason for water fluoridation, I understand in terms of benefit, but this is a historic issue that goes back 20, 30 years, and there's a lot of controversy about it. I don't know if that's something. I look at the things we really want to pass, and I don't know if fluoridation is one of the, frankly, it didn't make very high in my list, but I don't know how to deal with it. It's not particularly huge priority based on the other pieces, and recognizing the other pieces in the list we have to do with the other pieces, I wouldn't even...
I think one of the things we considered when we were talking about polarization is that, one, it was a huge cost savings, and two, it's because there's only 1 of 2 dental proposals that were being considered. But that's not saying that issue on the list, but that's the reason why we decided issue on the list right then and there.
Yeah. I think it is a disparity issue because very kids
don't have access
to dentists to get fluoride tablets, which okay, there is a cost savings associated with it. It's
right.
Not a New York City issue,
it's a resident state issue. But it's still an issue. It's an access and
disparities
issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we
still
can't
tell us.
You tried.
Next question, is the fluoridation issue about money or is it about policy setting by public health? I thought that isn't the fluoridation issue like a public health policy issue? Not really. It's not
the department recommends.
So the reason you guys
want it on this list to be tracked. We want MRT to move it up in the priority and take some dollars to do a revolving outreach. That's right.
So that those localities can also be enlightened as other
localities will have some resources to help children.
Thank you.
Well, there's likely to be risk factors in those communities that are, will go beyond
well beyond. Right.
Yes.
So that's a conversation between 8 and 14, is that what we're doing?
Yes. Yeah.
8 and 14.
Well, you know, can I just suggest something? Notwithstanding that all the things in black were rated high, some of them, I like the word somebody said earlier about, some are really
granular and are not
as systemic in their impact. So
I know Michelle is trying to get us,
but it's just that it's rated high, but... You know, there's other things that are in purple that have, I think, a much larger...
I know I agree with that to a certain extent, except for the fact that there have been groups of people trying to get some of these granular things for years. And, you know, so I also think if we look at kind of submitted kind of community proposals for it, they actually also further bolster the...
On the block. So can I ask this? And I hesitate because I know that they're very distinct, but it's only about playing the game. So 2 and 3, is there a way for us
to combine those but to keep the distinction in the narrative?
I think because we've lost languages so many times.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that the resistance to the pharmacy, like a private, it's substantively different disagreements.
No problem.
It would be easy to knock them both.
No problem.
It's the same logic that Neil offered up on the other piece.
I agree with you.
Just one or two ways.
So let's see if there's anything else we can do here.
But I wonder if they have treatment thing should be in the benefit. That would be, should be in the benefit program. That's such a clear benefit.
Number 11?
Yes.
Can we circle that in red as a, like, a in part of our benefit?
Well, I'm just trying to...
With the benefit package... Since we're adding a number of things, we may need to prioritize them because if they see just several items, they may just be all lumped together in a route. So maybe think of prioritizing.
The benefit.
The search case comes.
Prioritizing within the priority.
We
have not. We haven't even
done a list yet.
Yeah.
So far, there's only one.
Okay.
See the number
one here.
Yes.
I just think it's important in the long run, because if it's not diagnosed, if it's not taken, especially if it's coming up the ranks of our young people, and that's statistics. It's out there. The data is out there for that.
Is 13 and 14 also benefits package issues or not?
Which so far was under our definition of benefit package?
I don't.
Nothing.
Right. Oh, we
nothing and everything.
I don't see 13 as being benefits package. Yes.
Yeah, that was we need a CMS for 13.
Something.
Yeah, that's a CMS for 13. But we had benefits, didn't we? Contemplate like the community health workers, the community preventive,
the community health workers we were moving from a letter to the community over to them.
Right. But there was the diabetes prevention.
Although that's still here.
I know, but I thought we were talking about it.
We were talking about it more slowly than
that. Right. There were about 4 or 5 other issues.
So we were keeping it, but we were adding...
Add other things under it.
Yes. This was the hypertension. Yes.
Things that have where the risk factors...
The same package of risk factors, exactly.
I think there were about 4 or 5 other diagnoses.
Obesity, hypertension, pulmonary,
cancer.
Yeah, as we just added more.
No. All the health home ones. All the health home ones.
number 7, is there any way that one could be?
That was all women's health care.
That's all women's health care.
That was the Neil. That's
right. Can I just throw out for number 8? Can we just say to the group, can we just add suicide prevention?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
That is kind of great.
And it's out there already. It's out there.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of success in mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I'm with you.
So doing very well.
I know. This is a bad after 69 of them.
Trying to protect our anonymity.
Oh, hey. Anonymity is gone now, I think.
Secret ballot.
I don't think
it's
going to.
I think it's
going to
be at the same time.
Paper anymore? Just write down the numbers of the 5. Just write down.
Just your top 5 numbers.
Write down your top 5 numbers. 1 through 14.
Karen.
Your top 5.
The number 7.
But we're writing it.
Those numbers.
Joe, I can do you first if you want. So there are 14 on here. The first is number 1, which is the data one. The second is number 17. 3 is number 18. 4 is number 62. 5 is number 50. 6 is number 10. 7 is 51 and 61.
God, I lost you after 4 because there are people talking in front of you. I can't hear you.
Folks, yeah. 4 is 62. But it was, somebody had muted it.
I did it. I didn't realize I controlled the whole thing from my little... Sorry.
Okay.
Let's go with what we did. The five out of... I mean, the top five, and let's see where we are.
The reason we suggested it was not to afford our process, but just as an exercise to see where the wisdom holds.
Can I think of
At least we might have left our wisdom before.
How about Jackie's idea about top 10?
I can tell you just for myself that the top five is, and I have no methodological explanation for it, but producing distortion in how I would want this to shake out. So,
everybody's going to score the top 10.
Top 10. Jen.
And just a tick for each of what would be in the top 10. Right?
Yes. So it's not top 10 in priority.
Yeah.
Right. It's just your top 10. Because we'll get the priority.
Vote a single vote.
Single vote.
For each of
10.
Just and we'll call that.
All right.
Okay, sorry. For you guys on the phone, you're going to pick 10 out of the 4.
Yes. Can we somehow, can we do something by email?
Well, right now we're doing an exercise to vote among the group. So I can tell you what the proposals are.
The BlackBerry service in the Northeast is down.
Yeah.
Actually, mine came back up.
Yeah,
right.
Mine was actually up in the Northeast.
Oh.
I guess we could email it to you. So let me just read them to you. Number one is the first one is 1 MTM and all the data ones essentially. Two is language access, form 17. Three is prescription labels, number 18. Four is the LOBO chronic disease, started out as diabetes prevention, community-based, which is number 62. Five is emergency Medicaid, 50. Six is the issue with academic medical centers, disparities, that's number 10.
It's not academic medical centers, it's teaching hospitals, correct?
Teaching hospitals, yes. Number seven is 51 and 61, all the maternal child health ones, and number seven. Please on the train. Number eight is the LGBT training, which includes disparities and suicide prevention training. That's number 19 and others. Number nine, youth psychiatric transitional services, number 31. Number 10 is the charity care proposal, number 7, SR. Number 11 is hepatitis C care and treatment, which is 21. Number 12 is Medicaid coverage for water fluoridation, 67. Number 13 is expanded access to syringe and harm reduction services, number 22. And 14 is access to mental health medication, I guess expanded to the whole Medicaid formulary for managed care plans, that's number 39, expanded. So those are the 14. If you guys want to give us your, I guess we can go around. You can think about that for a minute, and we'll collect your top, your 10. You vote for 10.
So we send it by email?
Let them send it by email.
Oh,
email down.
Well, some have it up.
You can send it to gsb02@health.state.ny.us.
Take please repeat out. That.
He might have repeated that.
GFB02@health.state.ny.us.
Sorry, one more time. My apologies.
GFB02@health.state.ny.us.
Thank you.
What do you want us to do?
What's happening? Karen, why don't you do it down on this board?
Okay. by zero.
While we're doing that, I wanted everybody to know that the demand for the train is at 3:30. If you don't get, you'll be on a later train if you miss the 3:30 van, which is a 10-minute. So.
Just 10 minutes.
quick. I'm packing.
I left at 4:30 this morning from Geneva, and I have to go back there.
You have to go back to Geneva?
Yes, because this day's so late. It's in the middle of a two-day conference.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Taking my sandwich back with me. The Marlboro man. Yeah, really.
I'm still disappointed you didn't wear your hat.
True.
I'm going to have to be happy with whoever this turns out because
yeah,
we're all
yeah.
Happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it seems strange for 4 hours not to get an email. Like, you know, something wrong. Oh, okay. I got to do all the other work. Here. I just got this yesterday before I left for MRT. They're pretty.
Yeah.
Your
call my lame
self.
Giving me MRT.
The ones that are already implemented.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll try to wait if you haven't gotten to it yet. So we have a conference.
I know.
Great. Oh, yeah, you're doing a workshop, aren't you?
I am.
Huh.
I know.
No peeking.
Yeah, but my friend hasn't been signing the ad because I'm all for democracy.
Yeah,
I think it'll get there. Where was it?
So she's got one. We got one.
I sent her an email to my person again saying, please get the ad in. I just am literally looking at my week. I'm not in my office between the Brooklyn one and the big one. And this I feel like there's nothing worse than doing your job.
Yes, I'm very low on the totem pole here.
I think it's done. I just haven't. Okay. The person's responsible for doing many other things.
Wow.
Sometimes I do. Tomorrow I'll be on the train.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Jackie, between you and the last night.
Yeah, you can't be sure that you're going to be there.
Right.
And you better not be leading the meeting. You have another
time. Dennis, on the phone, were you going to send in your vote?
Sent them in by email. Just want to clarify, GF is in Frank.
Oh.
GF is in Sam. B is in boy.
Sorry.
Zero. Somebody got your vote, but it wasn't you.
Guy from like Gary's like, why am I getting
what are these numbers?
Gary over at Corning Powers. Why did I get the
numbers?
It just got turned over to the anti-terrorism task force.
Gary's going on
sent me
right
these
now.
Phone numbers, and we don't know what they are.
No, I'm going.
Yeah, we go.
Mine's not on there.
What? Which one?
So 11 through 14 didn't make it. It's basically
1
through
10.
Interesting.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Co-chairs of those other groups that benefit
Forest and planning council.
Well, and then I think there's a letter to the departments that we have to figure out who can be the president of the commissioner saying here's things we want the department to do or not prioritizing them on our the department means without statute of waiver.
So I'm actually quite distressed that neither of the two proposals that dealt with active drug users made it onto the list.
That what?
That dealt with drug users.
13 and
everything. Harm reduction.
No, they're not in the 10. They're alternates only.
But I think 11 and 8 should be put in our transmittal about the benefit package.
Yeah.
So one thing we could do is send them to the benefits.
13.
With, but
yeah, that's right.
Well, with some of the stuff in the benefits package is going to need a waiver too, right?
But I don't. I mean, there's various things we could do. Obviously, we could put it in there. We could also ask the department to go ahead and vet all 14. And submit them in order of priority. So at least they get in front of the MRT, and those of us who want to then use that to advocate for those could still use that leverage.
I'm fine with that.
Yes. I like that. I think that's
great.
Everybody likes
that? Yeah.
I mean, staff
likes
that.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair.
I think the top 10, we're going to do whatever we can.
To propel the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that gives
a
jump off
board.
Exactly.
Because they're really not alternate, and they're not the same thing. They're not alternative to the same thing. They're different things.
Exactly.
The 2 minute warning for the boss is going to be.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will be terminated in 2 minutes. The leader has turned lecture off, and your lines have been unmuted. The leader has disconnected. The conference will now end.